I'm just going to be taking some detours. We're going to be whacking some potholes. Just really, it's going to be crazy. So buckle up.
Okay. This is me putting my seatbelt on. I don't know why it's going over my forehead, but it is. Got to be safe.
Safety never takes a holiday.
Oh my God.
Nathan, I was FaceTiming him earlier and he was like, you guys get really loud and like you laugh really loud. Like you need to close the door so you don't wake the baby. I was like, okay, well, I did consider sitting in the closet. However, I don't really want to do that. So I'm going to try and like be quiet, calm, cool, and collected.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. Hey guys, no, it's a musical surprise. Okay. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of And Here's Why.
For those of you who don't already know us, we're a podcast that dives into the fictional worlds of movies and TV shows.
Spilling our real feelings and hot takes when it comes to all things fake is our specialty. I'm Paige Hollinsworth.
And I'm Lauren Hennessy.
And I'm Lauren Hennessy. Back to you, Brett. Today we're chatting about the 2022 movie, is it why am I literate? Is it adaptation?
Yep.
Okay, just like it's spelled. All right. Today we're chatting about the 2022 movie. We've got to get through this. Hang on.
Why are you holding your face like Mariah Carey?
I can't see. All right, stop looking at me. I can feel you judging. Today we're chatting about the 2022 movie adaptation of Where the Crawdads Sing.
Marsh Girl.
Let me just start by saying Marsh Girl. Why not Swamp Girl or, you know, like, why Marsh? Why is that the word that we chose?
This is a real question. Is there a real difference between a marsh and a swamp?
I don't know. I guess I'm just a little biased when it comes to the word swamp. Maybe, you know, it's a Shrek thing.
And she's your neighbor, Kaya. She's your neighbor, right? In North Carolina?
Okay. I was like, I'm sorry, what? I don't talk to my neighbors. Also, I want to know, how did we get Kaya from her actual name?
Oh, like the spelling is ridiculous. That's what you're talking about?
Kya. Yeah.
Stupid.
It is stupid. However, her actual name, what is it, like Catherine or something?
Hey Alexa, what's Kia's real name?
Kaya Clark. Oh, good gravy. Catherine. It's Catherine Danielle Clark is her name. So how do we get Kaya with a K from that?
Is it a swamp thing?
Probably. It's probably how they speak there and spell things.
Yeah, I mean, we're jumping back to 1969, Barkley Cove, North Carolina. Our fave little muscle harvester, Miss Kia.
Really getting down in the trenches, you know. We love a strong woman that works.
What are your, like, overall feelings of this movie? Did you like it?
So let's just go ahead. I'll answer that, and we'll go ahead and tie in some of the reviews.
Take it away, Ernie.
What did you call me?
It's a Harry Potter reference.
I'm sorry. You did just watch all of those. Okay. Which, might I add, anyone that doesn't follow Lauren's personal account, you oughta. Okay? The level of extra that she and her Vegas friends take movie night to, off the chain, out of this world. You want to be their friend. Like, I'm her friend and I still want to be her friend. In the sense of I'm not her friend. So, anywho, quick little backstory. So I think my parents went to see this movie when it was in theaters. And that's what it's called. Where are they from again? What's the little fictional town's name? Cove?
Barkley Cove.
In that place. That's how they would say it. As far as the reviews go, so, you know, my parents have told me about this movie. They're like, yeah, you know, like the reviews were kind of but we still went and saw it. We enjoyed it. I was like, okay, cool. I never looked into this for myself. So again, I see that it's on Netflix now and that it's trending. And that is my gauge of if something's good or not. It shouldn't be, because I've seen some trash that does show up in trending. You forget forget that it's just trending because it's popular, not because it's good, right? Nathan and I sit down and watch it. I loved it. I thought it was great. There are some things that I was like, okay, a little weird, but overall, I was very impressed with it. Would I watch it again? No. But would I recommend it to someone to watch? Yes.
Not gonna lie, I'm a bit of a hater hoe on this one. Reese baby, maybe drop the ball just a touch on this one. I'll get more into that. I was very excited, actually, that there was a movie because the book was not that good. So I was, if anything, hoping that the movie, contrary to what my normal feelings are, I was hoping that the movie was going to be better than the book.
That's funny you say that because the reviews that I was looking at, I just, you know, like Rotten Tomatoes, I went through some of those, some other popular sites where the critics just dive into their feelings on things. And one of, so... very poor reviews.
Yeah, didn't it have like a 36%?
It was very low, yes. Like, I would be surprised if it were that high. So the reviews, just some of the words that stood out to me in the reviews, soggy, imperfect but captivating, flat, soggy. And that I don't understand with lots of question marks. So I get where they're coming from. And one of the reviews actually said that they loved the book and they thought that the movie didn't do it justice because it was like a courtroom. Like, they focused too much on the trial and like what was happening in the courtroom versus everything else. And I'm like, well, it is about a murder. So that's kind of important that they do touch upon those things. I didn't feel that it was too, you know, legalistic and whatnot, but maybe since I haven't read the book.
Well, and the book was actually projected to be considered a classic in the next few years. People were under the impression that this book was going to be like an essential read for like English class and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
I get it, but I don't at the same time. Like, the writing was very like flowery and like she definitely explained things very well, but it was just very dry to me. If anything, I liked that in the movie it focused more on the trial, because in the book it takes so long for things to like kind of get interesting. I didn't love a lot of the scenes where it flashes back to her past. I found those to be kind of boring.
We get it. Your family left you. Okay, let's put a pin in that. For anyone that is maybe new to our podcast, this, all of our episodes, including this one, are full of spoilers. So if you haven't seen this and you want to watch it and you want to be surprised, stop listening now because I'm about to ruin it for you.
Ruin it.
So I wanted to know, did you think that you knew where this was going? For you, we'll say when you read the book, since, you know, you already knew what had happened. When you started reading the book, did you think that you knew, like, what was going on?
I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I don't know. The story to me just doesn't have like this really good shock factor. I feel like if they made this into like a mini series instead of a movie, it would have hit a lot better for me, because it maybe would have almost given it like a Cruel Summer type of a vibe rather than,
okay,
I don't know. They condensed 400 pages of a book into this melodramatic movie, and it just missed the mark for me in a lot of ways.
I will agree with you. It's one of those movies where, you know, we're sitting there watching it, and after about an hour, you're pausing it to see how much time is left. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, is this over yet? I wouldn't say I knew where it was going. Like, I mean, it was clear from the beginning that my girl had been through some drama. She was quiet. She wouldn't say anything. You know, there was something going on there. So I didn't understand, like, the extent of her backstory and everything that had happened with her family, being alone, all of that stuff. However, I did, there's one point in the movie, I was kind of leaning towards thinking that Kaya was the one responsible for the murder.
Mm-hmm.
It was between her and Tate, honestly, for me. So I'm leaning more towards her in the scene where she's at dinner with like her publishers and all the uppity-ups. She makes a comment about, I think it was a praying mantis. It was some sort of bug or insect. And she talks about how it has to eat its mate for survival or something. And when she said that, I was like, she totally killed him. And Nathan's like, no, you think so? I'm like, Yeah, I think so. Like, why would you say something like that? Like, it's so – it was very calculated. Yeah. And, like, she knew what she was saying. They didn't understand, but she knew. And if I were the one guy that went on the stand and testified on her behalf, I would have threw in that little tidbit because that could have totally swayed the jury. But what do I know?
I think it helps that you do sympathize with the character, like kind of no matter what. Mm-hmm. For me, I was like, okay, even if she did kill this guy, I kind of still hope that she's not found guilty. Because, I mean, you see her grow up in this marsh and clear daddy issues. Literally, the whole family abandons her. Ma.
Not ma.
The sibs. Everyone's walking out the door. Bye, girl. Be abused alone. You feel for her. Then her whole abusive stuff comes up with Chase anyways. Because obviously there was some touch and go moments with some fisties. But I definitely was like, she's pretty sus.
I agree.
Like she kind of almost grew up like Wild Thornberry style.
Ooh, do your Donnie impression. No one does it like you do it.
Blessed. It's my secret talent.
Well, don't you go changing.
Oh, the opening of the movie starts out with just like a super duper dead Chase Andrews. Super dead.
It was the children finding him.
Yeah. Pretty much straight away, Kaya is charged with his murder.
I don't know. I feel like it's justified, especially that I didn't know it at the time, but it seems as though it was public knowledge that they had at some point seen each other or were seeing each other or whatever. Like it was known that they were lovers. And so, I mean, that's you always... It's always someone close, you know? So I feel like it's smart to look at her. They should have looked at his fiance as well, because if she knew, I'm not saying she did know about Kaya, but it wouldn't have hurt, you know?
Well, and they arrested her with like virtually no evidence yet.
Again, totally 1969.
They were like, yeah, you were close to him. You probably did it. Come with us. Like, no.
That is my probable cause, is you probably did it.
Kaya, although I thought that seeing her past flashbacks and stuff, I thought it was a little bit dull. However, I kind of loved getting to know her in that way because she almost gave me like Hermione Granger vibes. I don't know if you got the same thing.
No, yes, I see that.
Although the turn into that, the blooming, if you will, it wasn't executed well, in my opinion, because she kind of went from like illiterate to PhD insanely quick. Because Tate was like, oh, I wrote you some letters. And she was like, boy, I can't read that. And he was like, say less, I'll teach you. And suddenly she's scientifically describing why the sky is blue.
How did we get here? Yeah, there was definitely a disconnect there. I was shocked as well because she went on to publish multiple books within just a few years of a window there. I'm not saying you couldn't be extremely gifted, but still, in that time, I can't imagine how publication companies worked and just, you know, things were so different. And it really, they did a sloppy job. Very soggy.
Started out with a feather. How did it end up like this?
Oh my God. Gosh.
Their weird little feather passing romance. I was like, okay, Tate.
You know, to each their own. I will say one thing that was so disappointing to me. So I knew nothing about this movie. I just saw it on the recommended. We watched it one night. So it's coming on. You know, when I'm watching a movie, I'm eating a pint of Ben and Jerry's half-baked. So I'm just looking down at my naturally ice cream. Right. It's just right. So I'm eating that. And when I look up, all I see is Reese Witherspoon's name on the TV. So I got super excited. I thought she was in the movie and I just keep waiting and waiting and she never shows up. And I was like, this is such a tease. Where is Reese? And then it was later that I discovered she was not, in fact, actually in an acting role. She was behind the making of the movie.
Indeed. Yeah, she was just the money bags.
Mm-hmm.
Character I was a little bit confused about was the lawyer. I know that they show in like a little flashback that he like kind of meant something to Kaya, mm-hmm. but he was a retired lawyer, and they don't explain what reason in the movie. He's just like, coming out of retirement, gonna help make sure you're not guilty, girl. For what? Like, why? I want to know what his motivation was behind randomly coming out of retirement for this case.
And see, I feel like you're so right about making it like a mini series or something, because then they could explore those routes and make it make more sense to us. It's just like you said, they took way too much information, smashed it all together in like 2 hours, and now we're left with these questions that keep us up at night.
As I thought they were going to do, they definitely Hollywoodified this movie a ton. Mm-hmm. Not that I was expecting Kaya to look like feral by any means, but if she's supposed to be this marsh girl, like this whole town coined her as the marsh girl, she looks like a very normal, average human being. All these small town swamp boys have like perfect teeth. I don't know. It was giving Anne with an E rather than like Duck Dynasty. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like Little House on the Prairie.
You're like, where's the grunge and the dirt and all of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's literally Shrek. She looks way too put together. Same with all these little towny boys.
You see, and that is, you're so right. Like, they ruin all these things for people, because now there is a group of young women somewhere and they think, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go visit the swamp because I'll find me a swamp boy. And no, like
Tate.
It doesn't work like that. Hawaii, for instance, okay? When my dad found out that we were moving there, everyone's like, oh, gonna find you a surfer boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. You know what I ended up with? He's a fine man, okay? But he is very white and he's redheaded, okay? It's just, it's not what you think. They don't all have six packs and are shirtless all the time surfing. Honestly, the culture there, so different than what's depicted. And it's like that with anything, you know, like think of Outer Banks. It takes place in, well, I don't know where it's filmed, but it's supposed to be like the Outer Banks, like this beach town. You know who lives in the Outer Banks, Lauren? Old retired people, not these young, attractive teenagers getting into bad stuff and treasure hunting. Like, it's just all so fake, you know? So you have this whole demographic of people that's like, oh my gosh, I gotta go here and see these people. And it's just not like that. I'm sorry. It's not.
1000%. We never found out what the letter says from Kaya's mom. This is what I think was in the letter.
Lay it on me.
Kaya's mom. Hey girl, miss you. Dad sucks. TTYL. Love, mom.
That was very short and to the point. They did say at one point, or maybe I looked it up. I either looked it up or something was said that the letter said she wanted to come get them, or she wanted the kids, and that's why the dad destroyed it. So I think it goes a little something like this. Hey, Kai. It's Ma. I really want to get you to take you away with me because I know your daddy beats you, but I just can't without his permission and his blessing.
And his fists.
And, yes, and also his fist. I'm staying with a sister right now, but if we are ever so fortunate to, I don't know how to spell the next word, so I'm gonna skip it, and then I'll find you.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of like a real, not even like a Southern drawl, just straight up BFE, like uneducated, you know, and I'm not hating. I'm telling you like where my mind goes.
I'm hating a little bit, but it's mostly because of how freaking clunky the mom's plot line goes. Literally, part of her storyline is that she forgets that she has children.
She ends up getting sick. She had some kind of cancer. I think she got leukemia is what they said. And this is my thing. Let me speak on this as a mother. Where are my moms at? Okay, let me say something on our behalves.
Do it.
I understand that Kaya's ma was a victim of abuse, and I'm sure that that was very traumatic. you don't just forget your kids. I literally looked at Nathan and I was like, what kind of mother leaves her children in a situation like that? It's like, peace, but you guys can stay here and take it. No, if anything, get your kids somewhere safe. Just kill him, honestly. Like, why are you taking it from him? Ridiculous. He's not providing for you. He's not doing anything that you couldn't do on your own.
It really did grind my gears. Boo, Ma. Thumbs down, Ma.
Let me learn you a little something. So I think it's funny that this movie took place in North Carolina. Did you know, town over from my town, it's Hickory, North Carolina, and we actually have a AAA minor league team there, baseball team, and they are the Hickory Crawdads.
Ooh.
Very festive. They're actually a team for the Texas Rangers, so don't ask me about that. I don't know. But I just thought that was very ironic. I was like, oh, like, and crawdads are a big thing. Because have you ever tried a crawdad or a crawfish?
Nope. Too scared.
Honey. No, I promise I was too. So granted, growing up in that area and stuff, I never tried them then. I thought they were just, I mean, they're crustaceans, you know. I'm like, no, thank you. I'm not really going to get down with that. Like, you can make me a hamburger or some steak or something, but I don't really get down with the water animals like that. Not the freshwater animals anyway. Anyways, I never tried them. And we went to Louisiana in 2018, I think. They're huge there. It's crawfish is what they call them, but it's the same thing. I thought they were very good. 10 of 10 would recommend. But they're also called crawdaddies.
Oh, dear Lord.
Mountain lobsters and mudbugs.
I love a crawdaddy.
I love me a mountain lobster. Ooh-wee.
Spank me, crawdaddy.
Oh, he'll pinch you with his little claws.
Let's enter Chase Andrews into this chat because he has not been spoken about enough. Mr. Marsh only strict relationship. She goes into town. She meets his full ass fiance.
Listen, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting him to be with someone. Okay, all my single girls or my young honeys in a relationship. I'm calling everyone out tonight, okay? If a man ever wants to keep you secret or hidden away, red flag, just leave. It's wrong. Absolutely not. Because chances are he has someone on the side, or you're on the side, matter of fact. It's just scandalous, you know? Like, there's no need for that. Like, you should be adored and, like, held up here like a trophy for all to see, not shoved into the swamp.
Yeah, and you know what, it really triggered me?
Oh, tell me.
That was literally my life in high school. I had two secret relationships because I looked like a gremlin, but I had the personality of a 10 out of 10 hottie. And so I was loved in secret. Shout out, you know who you are.
Let's stop right there. Let's rewind that. So I'm not agreeing that you looked like a gremlin because I can't speak on that. I didn't know you then, unfortunately. When did your glow up happen? Because I just can't imagine you went from gremlin to what you look like now.
I would say it started getting better my senior year of high school and then blossomed more freshman and sophomore year of college. So it was definitely later.
That's about when I met you, right? It was 2017.
And that would have been my junior year of college if I finished college. Silly.
Oh, you slay me.
Yeah, so that was very triggering because I was like, wow, Kaya, girl, I feel you. I was also loved in secret and it's not fun.
Let me tell you a story about being loved in secret as well, okay? So I'm not going to say any names because I'm not trying to end marriages and things. Also, let me add, these people would never listen to this podcast. But gosh, it was right before we moved to Hawaii. I was still living in Georgia. So any Georgia non-friends listening know that this could be about you. So there was this guy that I was talking to. Then talking to literally meant talking to. I could not for the life of me explain to you what talking to someone means now because I've been happily in a relationship for 8 years and I don't know what it means these days. But see, back then, it literally just meant you were talking to someone. Like, you guys had feelings for each other, you liked each other, but you weren't putting a label on things quite yet because it was too soon to rush into things. So anyways, things are going great. It's like little kissy faces, but before the emojis where it was the two eyes and the asterisk thing that made like a little kissy face. It's like, oh, how was your day? Oh, good night. Kiss face, kiss face. Well, this guy would come to my brother's baseball games and we would sit together and we would always hang out together there. And I knew him. I had known him for a few years at this point. He definitely made a move on me, and come to find out, like, maybe the next week, this girl that I know posted happy 1 month anniversary. I just cold turkey cut him off because I was like, I have just been the other woman. I've actually been the other woman twice, both times, not to my knowledge, I would like to add. I'm not a homewrecker. Granted, we were teenagers, so, you know, everyone lived at home. It's not like these folks had real families out here. But it is such an awful feeling. Like, I know how Kaya felt, matter of fact. You know, you just, because it's not fair. The man knows what he's doing, and you are just a victim of the system.
Exactly. We can't always have the Tates of our lives that, you know, give us feathers and go off to college and then come right back to us, you know?
And teach us to read when we're like 20.
She should have dedicated her book to Tate, because that was all that homie.
Right. And I just want to add, when Tate takes that punch from Kaya's dad, from Pa, in the beginning, and the fact that he stuck around, I was like, what a gentleman. You know, chivalry is alive and well, folks. Okay.
Speaking of Chase's dead body, I'm just going to bring that back around.
We really got off topic.
Can we talk about that cheap ass shell necklace that he was wearing and how awful it is?
Listen, he wore it everywhere. He wore it to dinner that night. Why? Where did you eat? Did you eat at like Joe's Crab Shack? Because that is so tacky. Why would you wear that anywhere?
He doesn't eat at Joe's because he's got his little muscle farmer. He gets free muscles. He doesn't need Joe's.
Why would he need that, the fake stuff, when he's got the real deal? No, back to Chase. I didn't like him from the get-go.
Right.
I mean, the secretive relationship, you know, there were definitely red flags there. But when he proceeded to, he overstepped, we'll say, I really didn't like him.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
In the beginning, when you mentioned that you were glad he was dead, same, because, you know, clearly the quality of his life, it just wasn't quite up to par. So, like, you win some, you lose some, you know?
He gave me the ick straight away.
His hair, for a small, just a small sliver of a moment, I thought that the two of them might end up together. And then I remembered he was murdered, obviously.
That was also so hard about it, switching back and forth between the present and the past. Her flashbacks with Chase, the scenes in the courtroom, because during the flashbacks, I literally would forget that he died. So I would be like, are they doing something differently with the movie? Is she going to end up with him? And then I'm like, oh my God, I literally saw his dead body in back in the crick. So that can't be it.
Not the crick. You really get into character. I like this. I felt the same way. I kept just forgetting. And then two, part of me not knowing what happened, I was like, maybe something more happens. Maybe it does progress and then he dies. You know, like maybe they get engaged or whatever. Like I didn't know where it was going, but I was just appalled, disgusted. Whoever played him, I'm not sure of the guy's name. He did a great job. We'll say that. He really made me hate the character.
He did a wonderful job of being disgusting.
Brava. Wait, time out. How have we not talked about Mabel and Jumpin' yet?
Our power couple.
I love them so much. Mabel reminds me so much of my mother. You know, you don't want to get involved in people's business, but it's like you see that there's things that don't add up and you can tell like a child's struggling or whatever and you want to do for them and help them and just the kind heart. And I was about to cry just because it was so sweet. I felt like that was her parental figures.
Those scenes definitely made me emotional. And you have to think of the time. This is a couple that I'm sure was already dealing with a lot, living in the time that they were, where they were in this little small town in North Carolina. I'm sure the racism was flying left and right. So the fact that they went out of their way to help this little white girl, that got to me.
No, it did, because there were even some scenes like it was where Chase would come in with his friends. I just can't imagine meeting like the owner of a shop and much less like interacting with them in that way and then just treating them disrespectfully no matter who they were.
back when I was in the dating pool, I would always judge guys based off of how they treated servers, a receptionist, or, you know, people that they didn't know. If I were in that friend group and I was in that shop with them, Chase and his little D-bag friends, I would have been so embarrassed. Like, that is just, that's embarrassing.
Seriously, because how you treat those people, it says so much about your character. Because when you like someone or you're trying to impress them or whatever, you're gonna act a certain way. But how you treat those, like, we'll call them random people, you know, that definitely reveals your true colors.
And that's why Mabel and Jumpin' were the king and queen of that movie.
What did you think about Tate just leaving?
Like when he left for college?
And didn't come back when he said he would come back.
I didn't love it. I didn't love it. Also gave me more relationship trauma for myself. Not that specific. I'm going to come back to the Rolling Meadows, Lauren. Don't worry. I'll be back. That didn't happen. But the trauma of like getting ghosted when you had like such high hopes, that was definitely triggering for me. But when it's later revealed why, because what did he say? He was like, oh, I just figured you would never leave the marsh.
That, and he said something about like not knowing how to face her. And I'm like, that ticked me off. Okay, well, you're the one that chose to not live up to your, you know, I'm a big person on like promises and honesty. You chose not to follow through on something. You need to own up to it. Can't be like, oh, I didn't know how to face you. Like, no, be a man. Tell her you were scared. Just whatever, you know, but I do agree. Like he wanted more in life and I do respect him for not wanting to jerk her up and out of what she was used to. You know, props to him for that. But he's not trying to change her. He didn't want that. I respect that. However, love is about sacrifice and compromise. So you guys gotta make it work.
He definitely redeemed himself in the end, obviously, by the fact that they end up together. I don't think in the movie they really confirm whether it's marriage or not. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think they just kind of show them together, right?
Yeah.
They just show that they like grew old together and stuff, which is cute.
But the way she dies also?
Oh, you mean you didn't like that she just dropped dead in a boat? That wasn't cool to you?
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. And I hate.
Boats.
No. I hate when the guy is sad or when the guy dies.
Paige, I love a sad boy.
No.
Oh, I love it. Cry. I need you to sob. Feel bad. Oh my God. Ew. I eat it up.
Ugh. I always feel bad for the guy and I don't know why. Like The Notebook. The guy. Mm. It's just so sad. A Walk to Remember. The guy. She has cancer and dies and he's alone. The Titanic. Jack dies and I still feel bad for him and he's dead. You know, I always just feel for the guy in movies. I don't know why.
I think my body is fueled by man tears.
Fun fact for you. No, but for Tate, like just for him, I mean, they kind of had a childhood like romance thing going off. I mean, it wasn't like they were dating or anything, but it was clear there was something there. They bonded as kids and then he teaches her all these things and they come back to each other and they grow old together. And then she's like, I'm going to die in this boat and then you have to find my body.
She had a knack for the theatrics, that little lady, because talk about a way to go out. What is it? What's that lyric from Little Big Town? The wrap me in satin, lay me down on a bed of roses.
That's not Little Big Town, first of all. That's the band Perry. We've been over country music, okay?
Sink her in the river at dawn.
See, I was getting more like going up the river vibes, if you know what I'm saying.
Isn't that a happy song, though?
No, it's like what people say when they're going to kill someone or someone's going to die. They're getting sent up the river.
Can't say I have ever heard that.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, we've got things to work on, folks.
Sending him up the river. All right.
They're like on Yellowstone. They say they're going to take him to the train station. That basically means you'll never see him again.
That is so vague. Oh my God.
That's the point, honey. They're killing people. You don't want specifics.
Okay, wait, that's true. Clearly, you could tell I'd be a horrible murderer, which is probably a good thing.
You'd be like, that second rock, when the sun shines on it, take 3 steps to the right, 2 backwards, you're going to see a tree. Dig at the base of the tree, you'll find a key. Take that 7 kilometers this way, you'll find a box unlocked. Like, that would be you.
That's my silly little saying. No, that's not directions to where I hid this body, you psycho.
That's how I remember things. You would totally think it out very well. You would just incriminate yourself.
Would I? Oh, well, yeah, maybe. Speaking of, okay. Do you remember what the cover of the movie poster looks like?
The face, and you can only see the lips.
You can't tell me that that does not give Twilight.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Is that Kristen Stewart? Full Bella moment.
Okay. No, I support that. I agree. I concur.
Tate was Jacob. Chase was Edward.
Yes. Yeah, so you're team Jacob for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
But despite how insane the ending was, I oddly loved the boat. I loved the dying in a boat.
Oh.
That's how I want to go. And then you get sad Tate going through her stuff. And in the book that she was writing, right? That was a book she was writing, not just like a journal.
Whatever. I got more journal vibes.
In her journal, he finds the quote about the animal. What was it? It was like something about an animal needing to hunt its prey.
Yeah.
He turns the page and finds that absolutely horrendous shell necklace in cut out in the back of the book. I loved that.
I think that was the most haunting part, was that necklace. It's very distasteful. I'm just like, Nathan and I both looked at each other because I was like, I knew it, because I had called that, you know, she had done it. And he was like, wow, poor guy. I'm like, I mean, can you imagine just like knowing that you had lived with a murderer for like X amount of years? And like, not that it was for no good reason. I'm sure Tate would have done it if she hadn't, but just knowing for yourself, she took that to the grave, literally.
I feel like that's what the whole point of the traumatic childhood subplot was, how it was so believable. Oh, she's been through a lot, grew up in this alcoholic home with an abusive father, her whole family left her. Yeah, she probably could kill someone that's abusing her now again and kind of be chill with it.
Just another day at the office.
And as messed up as it sounds, I think that's why, knowing that she did it, I'm glad she got her happy ending. Does that make me a psycho?
No,
I don't know.
Same. I mean, maybe a little, but aren't we all? I agree with you. I think that she lived the life that she deserved as far as adulthood and after what she had control of. And I mean, I admire her for when her dad stepped out and she just chose to stay there. I can't imagine how terrifying that would be for a kid to think, like, you know, social services is going to show up and like take you. Or she was like, I'm not scared to be by myself out in the swamp. I'll just go get my muscles myself. What a lady. I admire her.
Our little swamp girl, you know, Shrek said it best. She was really like an onion, that one. She had many layers. She looked at Chase and was like, get out me swamp, Chasey.
Oh no, you didn't go there.
You see how he ended up. He did, in fact, not get out her swamp donkey, so...
Oh, that reminds me, when he shows up to her place and trashes it after she had like made it all cute and stuff, because I mean, that place was a dump, you know, she didn't have electricity, nothing. And she really, like, once she started doing well for herself, she made it all cute. And I would go stay at the swamp if my Airbnb looked that cute. I thought she did a fabulous job with her place. And then he just shows up and wrecks it. You know, nothing burns my buns more than a home that is not put together properly. So that really just threw me for a loop, seeing everything awry.
Super hated him. Super dead is what it is. I wouldn't recommend someone watch this. We watched it so you didn't have to.
I feel like we're Olaf in Frozen 2 when he's explaining what happens in Frozen 1. Sisters torn apart. Shipwreck. Parents dead.
Final rating. Paige, Where the Crawdads Sing. The adaptation, not adaption, in your opinion, is it overrated, underrated, or properly rated by the public?
This is tough I'm going to say that technically it's underrated. The ratings were really low. And like, while it wasn't that good, I thought it was better than what people are saying that it is. It was soggy.
Not the wet waffle reference.
It was soggy, but it wasn't as awful as the critics made it out to be.
Okay, well, I'm going to pop a U-turn and I'm going to say that it was properly rated.
Hey, that's fine. You know I love a good courtroom drama.
I was heavily debating on just turning it off at one point, but courtroom drama is what kept me there. And by golly, I'm glad I finished it, because at least now I can say that I watched it. And I did enjoy the ending. I already knew what was going to happen, but I enjoyed the ending.
It's always fun. I know I didn't read the book, but when you have read a book and then you see it as a movie, just, you know, we paint these own worlds in our heads and you think you know what the people look like and what the places look like and how things happen. But to actually see that on the big screen, it's satisfying, you know, even if it's not done how you would want it done or whatever, like it at least gives you somewhat of a glimpse into that world. And I do enjoy that.
That's fair.
Oh, goodness. I crack myself up the way that I write notes.
Example?
I struggle watching movies like this. That is one thing I will touch upon, because I do have a hard time. I was actually talking with some friends about this week. Watching movies where people have a rough upbringing, I struggle with things like that. I am such an empathetic person, and I really, really take these things to heart, even though I know it's not real. I don't know. So I do have a really hard time watching stuff like that. Like, I'm sitting there like holding back tears because they're like, oh, like when she's little and they're like, oh, why does she smell like that? And I'm like, she just wants to go to school and learn like you guys. You guys are going to grow up and do nothing special, and she's going to write her books and play with bugs. Like, you know,
it's just a bug's life.
It is. I get way too invested in these things.
I didn't have that connection with her like I've had with previous fictional characters. So that being said, could you see this book being a classic? Like, if you were to group it with To Kill a Mockingbird, a lot of people were trying to compare it to that. Or Boo Radley.
Absolutely not. I can't imagine. Like, I remember being in high school and I took an AP literature class. And so obviously all we're doing is reading and writing essays and stuff. And I just can't imagine this being one of our assignments to read that. And
yeah,
it's just not, I get that there's a lot there, but it's not deep enough. If you're looking at it from that aspect, just dull. Like, it's very basic.
Yes.
Again, like, I'm not trying to make light of it or anything, but like, you've got a child with a rough upbringing, and then they grow up and they're ostracized, and then they end up killing someone. Like, I don't know. It's just blah. I feel like been there, done that. That shouldn't be something that our children are investing their time in.
I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Obviously, classics, I wouldn't describe them as dull per se. There's just a certain formula, I think, that is used for classics.
Yes.
They seem to follow the same structures. And I just don't think, although this one has good themes, it has good morals. Don't judge a book by its cover would probably be a big one.
I agree. Just from my perspective, I'm not a huge reader. You know, I have read a lot of classics. For me to sit down to watch this and from the get-go be like, I know what's about to happen. And not full on, but like, you have a general idea. That to me is just not checking a block to be a classic. Like, I need to totally have my socks blown off and it just have this deep underlying, oh my gosh, how did I miss that type of thing going on? And this just wasn't it. So,
agree.
But it's a pretty okay movie. So,
well, it's got a 4.43 as of December 3rd on Goodreads. And that is out of 2,210,814 ratings. So that's a pretty wide variety. I'm going to have to disagree with the public on that.
Don't waste your time. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We apologize. It's been so long since we have put out any content.
Oh my God. Yeah. Should we like address that?
Yeah, real quick. Burp, skirp, beep, beep. Okay, we're going to back it up. It has been a hot minute. I did have a baby.
Paige pushed out a whole human out of her body. sort. Well, it was pulled out.
It was pulled out, actually. But anywho. Yeah, I've been tackling motherhood. It is the funnest and craziest, most emotional thing I've ever done, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. My little girl is so much fun. She's going to be 6 months old by the time this is posted. Just living our best crazy lives over here. Lauren, what's new with you?
Well, I was living in Korea for a hot second. Your girl's back. Immigration dragged me back to America. Unfortunately, Jungkook of BTS did not fit in my suitcase.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure and leave us a review or head on over to our Instagram and let us know if you agree or disagree. We want to hear your thoughts.
Underrated, overrated, properly rated. Paige, where can people see your gorgeous new child?
Thank you so much. She is crazy. You can find us on Instagram at paige.hollinsworth. And Lauren, where can the people find your insanely aesthetically pleasing content?
You could find me at Lauren H. Writes. Your two favorite blondes are back.
We're back and we're better than ever.
Saddle up, baby.
Save a horse, listen to a podcast.
Oh, that went a different direction. Wait, would you be big or rich?
Well, I'm neither, so.
Let's settle on I'll be big because I'm bigger than you and you can be rich because.
I'm rich in happiness. I love it. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Thanks for being so patient because this has been a long time coming.
We were in our live, laugh, love era, but now nose to the pavement. Is that the saying? I don't know.
I think it's to the grindstone.
Okay, some sort of stone. We're gonna
pedal to the metal.